Pastor Ray Bentley says it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's who helps you get back on your feet every time.
In this world, everybody gets knocked around, trampled over. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. The only difference is that there are some who overcome, and it's not on the outside. The world tries to buffer themselves from pain through wealth and the accumulation of things, and it doesn't work. The only way to overcome is to change who you are on the inside.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. A downhearted churchgoer showed up to church one Sunday morning. The pastor greeted him and said, "How are you?" He said, "Okay, under the circumstances." The pastor said, "Well, what are you doing under there?" Today, we'll see how believers can rise above the circumstances. Here's Pastor Ray.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, verse 18. Paul makes it, this is one of the most fascinating verses to me in the New Testament. Paul says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, that's amazing to me. Why is Paul comparing a man who gets drunk with wine and alcohol with a man or a woman that is filled with his Spirit? He's bringing some rather unusual linkage here. But there is a purpose. These two have more in common than would appear on the surface. For instance, both men have a thirst. Both men have a need. Both men have something inside that they need to help with the pressures of life and the anxieties of life and the complexities of life. And, you know, you ask a guy that drinks, "Why are you drinking?" And he says, "Because it helps me relax. Takes the edge off. And it makes me calm down and it helps me to be peaceful." Now, well, what is the experience of someone who is filled with the Spirit? Well, exactly the same. It takes the edge of anxiety away, and it fills you with peace, the ability to rest and to relax in a wonderful way. And in fact, it's interesting that when you drink wine, the idea for those at least to go to excess, which Paul is talking about, and to drunkenness, is you drink until you become overcome or under the influence. Same with being filled with the Spirit. There is something where now Paul is saying you can so be filled with the Spirit that you literally are controlled by the Spirit and come under the influence of the Spirit, and the results, there are results, is peace, relaxation, joy, strength, help. Something beyond yourself that you need in a fallen world that helps you. And that's what Paul is saying. But he is saying now for those in Ephesus and those who have been part of the world, this is what you used to do. Now, I'm asking that you take something away and then replace it with the Spirit. Don't continue to use imitations. In fact, it's interesting, you drive down the street and you'll see a liquor store and it'll have a little sign in neon that says wine and spirits. There is something, it's an imitation. Paul is saying, okay, you want to be wise, walk with the Lord and understanding the will of the Lord? Don't drink unto excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's where I think many Christians make a tragic mistake, is they get the part of, okay, we take that away. We don't do that anymore. And their life becomes a process of only removing the old things. But they never really replace it with anything else. They're kind of stuck in this place where, you know, I don't do that anymore, and I don't do this anymore, and I don't do that. I don't do that. And finally, you know, you get around those kind of people that are, their whole life is built around all the things they don't do, And their testimony is, I don't do anything. Whoa, that sounds rather boring, doesn't it? You know, and we've joked about the old expression, I don't cuss, don't chew, don't go out with girls that do. That kind of old legalistic kind of Christianity. That's not Christianity. It can be just a piety, a kind of a pious pretending, you know, nothing. Paul is saying, yes, don't drink unto excess and be controlled by that, but be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, the word filled means to be controlled by. Paul says, come under the control. You can not only be influenced by the Spirit, you can absolutely, tangibly, experientially come under the control of the Holy Spirit, the results of which are peace and relaxation and joy. It is something that touches you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I think even physiologically. It brings you to a place of just being at rest with God. And it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you ask for it. And you know, you take away the things that are the imitations and say, okay, now I'm ready for the real thing. This is what I was made for. Fill me with your Spirit and teach me, Lord, what it means. Now, I think in these next couple of verses, Paul begins to define how we can be filled with the Spirit. Let's go to the next verse, verse 19. But be filled with the Spirit. Notice there's not a period at the end of Spirit, but a comma, continuation of the thought. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now that's interesting. The very first thing that Paul mentions when he says, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Sing, worship, praise, hymns. That's how we can be filled with the Spirit. There is something about singing that opens the emotional part of our heart. If you only, we are in our soul, we have an intellect where we think thoughts, and then we also have emotions, and then we have a will. Those three elements combined make up your soul. If you, detract from any one of those areas, you are robbing yourself. There are some Christians who live only in the knowledge, intellectual, doctrinal level. And then there are others who only live in the emotional level. And Paul is saying, no, you need both. And they need to be in harmony one with the other. And in fact, it is in the area of the heart, emotionally, that we experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the way that we do it is by singing and worshiping. Something interesting, Jesus, when he went to the Last Supper, do you remember that with that Last Supper with the disciples, it says that when they were done with the meal and Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he walked out into the night sky under the stars, and it says that Jesus sang a hymn. He led the disciples in the singing of a hymn. Have you ever thought about Jesus singing? He sang a hymn, and they would sing these, what they sang, their songbook was the Psalms. And it is in those Psalms that very much the emotional part of our being and worshiping God, and of course God used David because he was so emotional, and by the way, Jesus was extremely emotional. It's the way that we've been made as human beings. You were made that way. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. We handle those emotions differently. We express them differently. But there's no such thing as an unemotional human being. It's there. You were made that way. And there's something about that emotional part of our heart, and when we worship God, that allows, it opens up the filling of the Spirit of God. Now, I know that there are some who come to church here, and I know this because they've said, either to me or to one of the other pastors, I always come to church late. And so you say, well, why do you come late? And, okay, sometimes getting the kids together or I got a phone call or whatever, okay. But then there are some who would say, well, I come late because, you guys sing a lot. And I'm not that into the singing. I love the Bible study and want to get in there and learn and so forth. Singing. Whenever I hear that, I realize they don't understand. It's not singing. It's not like a warm-up act for the Bible study. It really is worship. And the point of worshiping God is to open your heart emotionally. Now, what we're doing right now is kind of an intellectual learning knowledge and the principles of God and the truth of God and incorporating that into our lives. But there is another part of this that is also deeply emotional. And that part is expressed not just by singing, but by, through singing, worshiping God. That's opening my heart emotionally to Him. And it means a lot to God, and it's more important to you than you probably even realize. What does it mean to a parent to hear their children express emotionally their love? I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. It means everything in the world. Well, how do you think our Heavenly Father feels? That we take time to express to Him, and that's what we're doing in our songs. If you read the words and listen to the ideas that we're singing about, we are expressing a variety of emotions about our love for God. And it is as holy as opening the Bible and having a Bible study. It is as spiritual. It is as equally important. And if you are denying or blocking or holding back that emotional part of your life spiritually, there's something missing in your Christian life. Look at Acts chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. I put this in your notes from the NIV. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Now, many of you probably remember, if you've read the book of Acts, you remember that story. Paul and Silas get beat up. They're cut. They're bleeding. They're hurt. And then they're thrown into this dungeon. And as they're down there with all these other criminals, at midnight, so what happened between the time they were thrown in and midnight? I don't know. Maybe they were, saying, ouch, and that hurts, and complaining. I don't know. They're human. Paul is not an angel. He's a man. He talks about in Corinthians all the gamut of his emotions, and I have no doubt that there was some fear for his life, as he expressed in other places, and anger at the physical abuse he had just received. For what? For preaching about love, Jesus, forgiveness. And now he's in prison. Well, something happened, and all of a sudden, at about midnight, Paul and Silas are there, and they say, hey, let's pray. Let's just pray. Lord, here we are. And as they begin to pray, and as they get their eyes upon the Lord, maybe as they begin thinking about, wow, we're being treated like Jesus. Hey, that's not a bad thing to be in His company. Maybe God has plans that we don't even know. And who knows what went on in their minds and in their hearts, but something emotionally began to happen. I believe what happened is they began to be filled with the Spirit, and then they began to sing. And they're singing and expressing love and joy even, and praise and worship. And I believe that they're not pretending. They were really there. They're experiencing in their heart emotionally joy and love and praise to God in those circumstances. And then it's interesting to note what the other prisoners who are in there, what happens to them? They start listening. Hey, what in the world is going on? I mean, we're in lousy circumstances. What in the world is there to sing about? Who are these guys? What are they doing in here? But I bet there was something, there was a ring of truth, authenticity, reality of heaven. Just like when Jesus was on the earth, now his disciples were being just like him. When Jesus opened his mouth, heaven came out. And heaven is a place of joy, real joy. And in fact, that heavenly joy is so powerful and real, it's more powerful than physical abuse, it's more powerful than human suffering, it's more powerful than the reality of pain. And so Paul and Silas are singing because what they are experiencing in their hearts is more real, more powerful, more tangible than all of their cuts and wounds on the outside of their body. Now that is Christianity. That's walking in the light. That's walking in love. That's walking in truth. Because in this world, everybody gets knocked around. Everybody gets beat up. Everybody gets trampled over. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. The only difference is that there are some who overcome. And isn't it interesting how often the Bible talks about overcomers? Paul said you will become more than a conqueror, and it's not on the outside. The world tries to buffer themselves from pain through wealth and the accumulation of things, and it doesn't work. The only way to overcome is to change who you are on the inside, that inner world of transformation. And Paul is saying that by worshiping, there comes this joy that is more powerful than anything on the outside. Pain is often God's stimulus to get us to transform or to change. The next thing that Paul mentions about being filled with the Spirit is giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is impossible to do. Are you thankful for everything? Can you think of a few things you're not thankful for? Sure, I can. It's not necessarily being thankful, oh, I got cancer, oh, thank God. No, I'm not really thankful that I have this illness that I am battling. What I believe he is saying is you can have a thankful heart regardless, again, of what's happening on the outside, because I now know by experience, having walked with God who loves me, I know he loves me. No matter what happens to me, I know he loves me. I know that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that he has a plan for my life. I know that even when I don't understand it, and much of life I don't understand his ways, that God works all things together for good. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he always has from the beginning of not only my life, but of human history. That's the whole story of the Bible. God works all things. And knowing that, there is a thankfulness. Now again, this is something that you can't as a human being produce on your own. The natural production of a human heart in a dark, fallen, selfish, broken world is complaining. How many of you know people that complain a lot? You know anybody like that? They complain about everything. They're just complaining, complaining, complaining. That's the mark of somebody who's walking in darkness, they don't know or are not experiencing love, and so they're angry and they're agitated and they're frustrated and they're just waiting for the next blow. And that's walking in the world. And there's something about this spirit that, yes, there's pain. Yes, there are things I don't like. Yes, there are things I don't understand. Yes, I'm going to have perplexities and trials. But in the midst of that, there is also something of the Spirit of God that makes me thankful. I can't believe how look at all the good things that God has done. Look at all God has given to me that I don't deserve. Look at all I'm going to inherit. Look at what my future, my eternal future is. And let's put things in perspective. Temporarily suffering, yes, but not to be compared with that which we shall inherit. And even in this life, what I've received, I now have a whole family of brothers and sisters that I never knew before, and I have a lot to be thankful for. Developing, that is another expression of being filled with the Spirit. And it's something that Paul says to walk wisely, you have to be kind of intentional about it. Otherwise, you can easily be consumed in a pond of complaining. It'll just drag you down and wipe you out. Again, emotionally, this is that area where the Spirit comes and he brings to us an attitude of thankfulness and of joy for all things, knowing that God is wiser than I am. And so those things that even God has allowed to happen in my life are for a reason and a purpose. And therefore, I can say thanks for all things. Then in closing, verse 21, we'll close with this. Paul says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So the last thing that Paul mentions that is a demonstration of a spirit-filled believer is the idea of submission. Now, that's not exactly the most popular word in the world, is it? There is something about, again, contrasting the world. In the world, the idea is it's a scary place, and you can't trust anything or anybody, and so, man, you better be in charge and in control of your life as tightly as you can. Then I crash and burn. I come to the Lord, and I realize I held on as tight as I could, and I still lost it. It fell apart. It got ripped out of my hands. And thank God, as I was falling, I fell into the arms of my Heavenly Father. And now the beginning of wisdom is that, and being spiritual, is that as fearful as surrender, which is what submitting means, is in the beginning, it actually is an extremely liberating thing. It takes the burden off my shoulders of having to be everything and do everything and know everything and be in charge of everything and responsible for everything. And it says, no, I'm really not. I mean, I have my individual responsibility as a child of God, and I do have to have some discipline in my life, but I don't know everything. And I can cast my burdens onto bigger and broader shoulders. And there is, the best way to describe surrender is a transfer of weight off of your shoulders. Those who do not learn spiritually to surrender first to God, and then the idea of even surrendering one to another, it's like a weight that you know, as life goes on, well, let's put another plate on, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and eventually you can't walk anymore. It'll crush you. No, because we were not made to handle life alone. Starting with number one, I need God, but the second discovery that I make in my life is not only do I need God, I need you. I need you, my brother. I need you, my sister. I have some gifts, but I don't have all the gifts. I have some insight, but I don't understand all things. And I need you. I need your prayers. I need your encouragement. I need your love. I need your friendship. I need you. And you know, you need me. And that's not far from being a bad thing. That's actually one of the healthiest things that we can discover. And then where we're free, again, I have nothing to prove. I can share with you my struggles, my weaknesses. We can pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, and love one another. It's a marvelous, wonderful, healthy, and healing thing.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out how the Lord uses our interpersonal relationships to spur our growth in Him. Good insight from Ephesians today here on Maranatha Radio. And you can hear today's message on CD if you'd like. It's a study called Spiritual Health, and we can send it your way for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Spiritual Health. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. You know, I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what He's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of His return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that He has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California,
9-2-1-2-7, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.